Ave Maria. The following is a homily given by Father Daniel Mahan, pastor of St. John the Apostle Parish in Bloomington, followed by an episode of Father Mahan's series, A Tour of the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to our guest this morning. It's great to have you here. Welcome to St. John the Apostle Catholic Church. We can sum up today's gospel with two short phrases: go deep and go out. Go deep and go out. Our Lord prompts Simon the fisherman to put out into deep waters. Put out into the deep, he says, and see what happens. And Simon puts his nets into the deep waters and pulls out a catch that he cannot believe. And our Lord teaches him through that miracle not a lesson about fishing from the Sea of Gennesaret, but rather teaching him the lifelong lesson that he will from now on be a fisher of men. He goes deep, and then he goes out. He goes out to all the nations, preaching the good news and drawing people to the Lord. Go deep and go out. Put out into the stillness of the deep waters, and you will not be disappointed. It's a metaphor for each and every one of us that we are called to go deep as we strive to learn more about the Lord, to go deep as we strive to figure out what in life is most important, what is most deserving of our time and energy, what will get us closer to the Lord and closer to the joys of heaven. We can go deep by seeking out those times of quiet, those times to disconnect, those times to allow the voice of the Lord to speak to us. We live in a very noisy world. We need those times. I understand that there are more and more people these days going to places like nature preserves and state parks and state forests just to be able to enjoy the peace and quiet of nature. We find people doing that here on our beautiful grounds, people coming up the hill just to take a walk, just to enjoy a picnic lunch, just to get a little freedom from the hustle and bustle of our noisy world. We need to put out into the deep, still waters from time to time, when we can enjoy the quiet through which we can be more attentive to God's voice, God's direction, God's will for our lives. We live in a world that is so superficial, where information is being conveyed more and more through sound bites and through memes. In this superficial world, we need to go deep and to keep learning more and more about the important issues of the day, and to learn more and more about our faith, lest we be swayed by those who would attempt to present the content of our faith through a soundbite or through a simple meme. We need time for study and reflection in this world in which so much is insignificant, this world in which so much is of passing value, so much that saps our free time and our attention. Two practical ways for us to go deep so that we might in turn go out and make disciples of all the nations, reaching out to our family and friends with what we hold dear. Two practical ways. The first way is for those who have access to a computer or to a smartphone or a tablet. If you do not have those things in your life, be patient. I'll get to you in just a second. But if you have access to a computer or to a smartphone or a tablet, I want to tell you about a digital platform for Catholic people and for those who are curious about our Catholic faith. I've spoken of this digital platform before. It is called Formed. And many people have said that Formed reminds them of a Catholic Netflix, that just as on that digital platform, you can find all sorts of shows, all sorts of programs, some good, some bad. On formed.org, this Catholic digital platform, you can find a variety of really good programs, programs that are moral, programs that are informative and inspirational, feature-length movies about Catholic topics, study courses, lectures, e-books, podcasts, animated programs that appeal to children, a whole variety of content. And I'm very, very impressed, first of all, by those who are putting forth this Catholic content. It's not just anybody who puts this together. The Augustine Institute for Evangelization is responsible for the content. And I'm very impressed with the speakers, knowledgeable about their faith, clear about what our church teaches, and able to present that in a way that's enthusiastic, in a way that grabs our attention. I'm very impressed with the positive approach that is taken through these various programs. You know, we can all find something to gripe and moan about, but when it comes right down to it, our faith will be spread by us being able to speak positively and clearly about what it is that we value so much and treasure so much about our Catholic faith, what it is about this 2,000-year-old tradition of faith that gives meaning and purpose and direction to our lives, why we love the Lord, and why we would never want to be far from His church and from the sacraments. The positive approach is so very, very important, especially as we go out and reach out to others. I'm also impressed that they keep adding new content. So what appears on Formed this month, there might be some additional programs next month, and so on. So how does one get access to this Catholic digital platform? I have a business card in my hand. I have a basket full of these same business cards about Formed, and the card contains the website, which is formed.org. It contains the parish code, And with the parish code, you can go on and establish an account with your email address and with a password of your choosing. And with that, the doors are wide open. With that, you have access to all of the programs and all of the content of formed.org. You may also choose to opt in to Formed Daily. They will send you an email at the beginning of every day. And that email will contain a little video clip, maybe a minute and a half in length, something inspiring, something to get your day started. And if you want to go deeper into that subject that is presented, they give access to a program that will be a more full explanation of what is presented. How much does this cost? It's already paid for. We have a subscription for anyone from St. John's, anyone from St. Jude's, any of our friends, and we can interpret that widely. We'll always have these cards in stock at the information kiosk if you want to pass one on to a friend or an associate who is interested in the faith. It's already paid for. Why not take advantage of this opportunity to go deeper into the content of your Catholic faith, to go deep so that in turn you can go out and promote the faith to others. That is for those who have computers and smartphones and tablets. If your use of technology has not advanced too much since the time of the Waltons, if the only spam in your home is that which comes in a tin can, if you have a radio, this part is for you, because we are so blessed in this area to have a very fine Catholic radio station, WOMB 89.9 on the FM dial. And the radio station, you can hear it in this area, you can hear it into Bloomington. It features 24/7 programming that is Catholic, featuring mostly nationally known speakers, but also some local programming. You'll hear some homilies that have been given from this pulpit. You'll hear me give a presentation called The Tour of the Catechism, where we go through the catechism from start to finish in little snippets. The staff and management of WOMB is present in the narthex. They even have a miniature radio studio set up there so that you can have your voice recorded giving a station announcement 15 seconds in length. They have a script for you to follow. Your voice can be going out on the air in perpetuity. How about that? Stop by and visit the booth for WOMB. Learn what's going on there. There are some bumper stickers for your car so you can spread the word. It's so important for us to have a radio station that is putting out things that are good and beautiful and truthful, things that might attract the attention of someone who's just going through the dial. How much does that cost? As you know, radio is free. You get it free of charge. But it does cost something to produce it. And WOMB is able to do all that it does because of generous Catholic people who want to invest in this work of evangelization. Stop by the booth. You'll find out how you can make a contribution, even an ongoing contribution, to keep this good thing going. I commend those who are going deep on a regular basis through the study of the Bible, through small faith communities that gather regularly, participating in offerings here, participating in the good things that take place at the farm each and every day, each and every week and month. I commend those who go to Catholic conferences. I'm amazed to find out that folks from our parish are going to Indianapolis for a men's conference or women's conference. They're going to Fort Wayne. They're going to southeastern Indiana for good things that are offered on a Saturday. I commend those who do this the old-fashioned way by reading good Catholic books, many of which can be found at the bookstore at the Mother of the Redeemer Retreat Center. There are many ways to go deep. Let's not neglect the opportunity. There are good things in store for us when we go deep, miraculous things, life-changing things. When we go deep into the quiet to hear the voice of the Lord, when we go deep into the great tradition of our Catholic faith and learn more and more about the content of the faith, the more that we know about something that is good, the more we love that thing. The more we know about the Lord, the more we love Him, and the better we are able to share our love of Him with others, inviting them to come and see, to find the Lord where He can be found, right here in the church that He establishes, right here through the sacraments that He institutes, the sacraments that always put us in contact with His real and substantial presence. Go deep, so that you might in turn go out.
We open the Catechism to the first part, the part that is structured around the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed. The Creed begins, "I believe," and that is the title of the first section, "I believe, we believe." And the first chapter is man's capacity for God. Note that whenever I use the word man or mankind, I'm referring to everybody. That's the language of the Catechism. Man is meant in the universal sense. This section, "I believe," begins with a reflection on the desire for God that is within the heart of every human person. This section begins by noting that built into every human being is a desire for God, a desire that cannot be quenched by anyone else but God Himself. Man is created by God in His image and likeness, and man is created for communion with God. Think about the book of Genesis and how God interacts with Adam and Eve. There's a beautiful passage from Scripture that says that God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. It's a phrase that has within it that sense of communion, that sense of closeness. This is indeed how man is created, for communion with God. Man is created by God and for God, and God never ceases to draw man to Himself. Only in God will he find the truth and happiness he never stops searching for. This is paragraph 27. There are so many forms of religious experience throughout history. They're many and they're varied, but they are so universal that one can call man a religious being. Down from the very beginning, man has had something within his heart that has caused him to reach out and to seek God. We see this in cultures all around the world and down through the ages. The bond with God can be overlooked or rejected. We see this in our secular culture, our materialistic culture that seems to have left many forgetting about God. But God never ceases to call every man to seek Him, so as to find life and happiness. God is always wanting to pull us back to Him, always respecting our free will in the process. To find God requires three things, according to the Catechism. It requires an intellectual effort. It requires our mind to be a part of this. It requires a sound will, a good heart, and it requires the witness of others. The faith that we receive, the belief in God and His teachings, are teachings that have been passed on from one generation to the next. St. Augustine says, "You have made us for Yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in Thee." Only by resting in God can we find our fulfillment and our peace and our lasting happiness. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee, St. Augustine says. There are some ways by which we can come to know God. First of all, we can come to know God through our human reason, through the mind that God has given to us, from looking at creation, looking at the world around us. We can surmise that there is a God. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. Ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature, namely His eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. Just looking around, looking at the beauty of a sunset, looking at the intricacies of a spider's web or a strand of DNA, we can surmise that there is a God, that His hand is at work. Through the years, there have been arguments for the existence of God based upon causality, meaning that something had to have caused everything to come into being today, and whatever caused that was caused by something else, and so on and so on and so on, until we get back to the first cause, who is God. Another argument for the existence of God is that on movement, that everything is in motion, whether it be physical motion or the motion of life. And there had to have been a first mover, a prime mover to get everything started. There's also an argument for the existence of God based upon teleology or purpose. Just looking at the world and how it's made, looking into outer space at all of the planets and solar systems and galaxies, there has to be a purpose, a divine purpose. We can come to know the existence of God through our human reason and from the nature of the human person himself. Think about how we are put together. Think about how we are wired, that there is an openness to truth and beauty. There's a sense of moral goodness, what is right and what is wrong. There is freedom and conscience. And there's also a longing for the infinite and a longing for happiness. This is from the Catechism, paragraph 33, that there is something distinctive about the human person that points to the existence of God. There is something that differentiates the human person from even the smartest creature that we could imagine, whether that's a chimpanzee or an orangutan or a whale. There's something different about man, that sense of wanting truth and beauty, that sense of freedom and the longing for the infinite. Now, our reason can discern the existence of a personal God, but to enter into real intimacy or closeness with God, God willed to reveal Himself to man. And God willed to give man the grace of being able to accept this revelation in faith. In other words, from our reason, we can know that there is a God. But what is that God like? Is God good? Is God mischievous? Does God have our best interests in mind? To know something about the nature of God, God has to reveal Himself to us. And so the Catechism, remember, in this section, we believe, I believe, begins with man's capacity for God, and then it gets into God revealing Himself to us. The Catechism teaches about the knowledge of God according to the Church. The Catechism says that through our reason, we have a capacity to know the existence of God, and yet reason alone, hampered by disordered appetites and the consequences of original sin, is not sufficient to know the truths that concern the relations between God and man that wholly transcend the visible order of things. Men easily persuade themselves that what they would not like to be true is false or at least doubtful. In other words, our reason, as great as it is not perfect. We can be deceived. We can be deceived. And through revelation, we come to know religious truth. In other words, God builds on our reason by revealing himself to us. Therefore, it's not reason alone that we know the nature of God, nor by faith alone, but reason enlightened by faith. Faith never contradicts reason, though it will transcend it. Reason can predispose or open one to an experience of faith. So how can we speak of God? Well, our language of God is limited, and so is our knowledge of him. We only know so much about God. We only know that which God has chosen to reveal to us. And so our language is going to be limited as well. We can speak about God only in accord with our limited ways of knowing and thinking. Our human words always fall short of the mystery of God, paragraph 42. And between creator and creature, no sameness can be expressed without implying an even greater dissimilitude. We can reason our way to a knowledge of God, and we can use our human reason to know things about God, but through language we can only say so much. And this is why we fall back so many times on poetry. The language of prayer, the language of the Psalms, is that of poetry.